Great to see all of you here today. We have a special day lined up. Tonight will be a special focus on our kids as they get ready to go back to school. And so part of that, I've got a lesson that's lined up with that as well about going to school. And so as we look at this, I want us to think about what it means to keep learning in life. I want to keep learning all my life. Now, I can think of a lot of lessons I learned in grade school. I can remember being there with a little piece of cardboard with holes in it and some yarn, and that's how I learned to lace up and tie a shoe. You know, tie your shoes. How many people have ever bent over to tie your shoe and forgotten how to do it? Well, no, you don't forget how to do it. Once you learned it, it's there and stuff, but you keep learning all the time. I've had people tell me, oh, I'm too old to learn anything. Don't you believe it. You just give them a new remote control for the TV and wait and see how long it takes them to learn. It won't be a week, and they can sit there in complete darkness, and they can find the power switch, the channel switch, and the volume switch all on their own without ever looking. They can learn those things. I tell you another thing I learned long, long time ago. My great-grandmother, wonderful, wonderful lady, Gladys Jones, and we were over at her house, and the lights went out, and she had to light a kerosene lamp, okay? And you remember kerosene lamps, right? Well, I'm a youngster, so I don't know. I'm watching intently because I like fire, you know? So she takes the chimney off, and she turns the thing for the wick, and then she lights the wick, puts the chimney back on. Later on, the lights came on, and she said, you want to turn out the light? I said, okay. Well, I figured, now, I saw her do this. I'll just do the same thing in reverse and to take that and to turn it off. Well, the smart thing to do would be just to turn the wick down until it goes off. No, I'm not smart. I need to learn. I reached over to grab the chimney to take it off. You know what happens to that chimney? It gets hot. Well, as soon as I realized what I'd done, which was real soon, I thought, what do I do? This might be an antique, so I wasn't going to drop it. So I held it until I could put it down. She was laughing so hard she couldn't hardly tell me what I'd done wrong. But listen, I learned that lesson one time. It didn't take me any time at all to learn that lesson. And from then on, I've never once tried to touch a hot chimney to take it off that base. What about us with learning? I want to learn, like this screen says. If done properly, education continues for a lifetime. Now, some of you have just completed high school. Some of you have completed college. And that's a great feeling when you're through and you can say, all right, that's the last test. That's the last lecture. But that's not the last time that you're going to sit somewhere and learn. You need to have the attitude. We all need to have the attitude to never stop learning. Always learn. Anytime you open God's Word, anytime you open the Bible, I want you to be thinking, anticipating learning something. I want to learn something today from this passage. Some of you will be marking in your Bibles, and that's great. I encourage that. This, as I mentioned before, is a new Bible. It's not got all my markings in it. But let me tell you something. When I go to a passage and it's already marked, I have such a feeling of comfort because I know I've been there. I know I've already learned something, and I'm anticipating learning even more. Now, in this passage from Philippians chapter 4, we're going to talk about Paul and some of the things that he's learned. So let's reread this beginning in verse 10. Philippians 4, the beginning of verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, now that at first your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, yet you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned that in whatever state I am, there to be content. And I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So let's see some of the lessons that Paul has learned in this. All right, let's see. This is just not working. So can we advance to the next? All right. I have learned. Paul writes from his experience. These are things that I have learned. Now, look at verse 13. We all know verse 13, don't we? But he has learned now that he needs to trust God. It's a difficult thing for us, isn't it, sometimes to trust God? Listen to this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul had a special relationship with God and Jesus, no doubt about that. But you and I, we need to learn to trust God in our life. That doesn't come naturally to us, but we learn to trust God. God does have our best interest in mind. God does want the very best for us. God doesn't always answer our prayers with yes, and I'll do this right away. God, though, is there for us. We need to learn to trust him. To trust him. Trust is a difficult thing, isn't it? To trust someone. Do you trust that somebody who bars your car is going to fill the tank back up before you get on a big trip the next day? Do you trust that people are going to do the things that they need to do? Sometimes we have to wait for people to build up and earn our trust. And other times you just know that if this person says they'll do it, you trust them and you know that it will be done. Friends, God has never let us down. God is always faithful to his word. And what God has promised, God will come through. We need to learn to trust God. Also, we need to learn to find contentment. And that's what Paul was able to do. Now, let's look back at verse 12. He says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. To find contentment. What's going to make you happy? What's going to make you content? Sometimes, we have something that we're on a quest to achieve. Maybe it's a quest to finish that last exam and get that diploma. Maybe it's a quest to go out to fulfill our collection. Maybe if you're collecting certain things, you think, well, I still need this, and I need this, and I need this. And when I finish that collection, I'll be happy. I'll be satisfied. I'll be content. There was a series of books on my shelf out in Texas. And they were the Gospel Advocate Annual Commentaries. Some of you probably have these or have had them over the years. Excellent series of commentaries. They went along with the little quarterly books that you'd have in class. And we had a deacon that came in one day, was looking around in my office. He said, you've got, it looks like the entire set of these. And I didn't have all of them. I was missing one back in the 1920s and then a few in the 1930s. And that rascal went and he hunted down the one that I was missing, the very first one in that series. He hunted it down from 1923 in Elam's notes because he wanted me to be content. He wanted me to find something for which I was looking. How do we learn to find contentment? Well, sometimes we learn to find contentment by just taking inventory of what we already have and to say, Lord, thank you for what I have. The bigger house, the newer car, whatever it is that we're looking for in life, those things won't help you find contentment. Contentment comes from within. I have learned these things, Paul says. Let's go on to the next slide. I have learned. In whatever state I am, people have joked with me about moving to Alabama. I won't tell you all the jokes that they tell because you could just change the names and talk about Tennessee the same way. But they say, I can't believe that you're moving to Alabama. I said, why not? Said, there are lots of wonderful people in Alabama, lots of people down there that still don't know Jesus. Why wouldn't I go to Alabama? Well, this isn't the state that Paul's talking about, but we could use it in that sense for just a moment. I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. Well, I've been in Georgia and Tennessee and Kentucky and also in Texas. I can tell you that each one of those states is very proud of their state. I can tell you that some of the people, especially those in Texas, are very proud of their state, and they don't think any other state counts. But when you go through life, listen, whatever the opportunities are before you, take advantage of those opportunities. You may find yourself in a different place for a while, and you can still find contentment, and you can still find God, even though you might be there through different means. Now, the first point up here talks about in the classroom of adversity. We have quite a number of people that will come to Nashville for medical treatments, and they might be life-flighted in from other places into Vanderbilt or St. Thomas or the other hospitals there. And so as I might from time to time go up to meet someone that I've never met before, but because someone in a different area, they know I'm close, and they email me or text me and say, Mike, this family has just gone in. They've got a medical emergency. Can you go up and be with them? And I'll do that. I'll go up and meet with them, and they're in a sense of adversity right then. They don't know what's going on. The medical things are up in the air, and they're in a strange city. This is not their home. This is not where they live. But you know what? God's family is everywhere. We have a forever family that surrounds us. And so as I go in and meet them, introduce myself, and we pray, we talk about things that they may need, they're facing adversity, but they're learning now to face the adversity, trusting God, and knowing that God is with them. Let's look at that verse again, verse 12. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 9, let's turn over there very quickly. We'll see here about Paul and Paul talking about his thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what it was, but we know that it did concern him. 2 Corinthians 12, and we'll begin there in verse 7. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Now, sometimes when we pray, we might pray just once and expect that God's going to answer our prayer in the way that we want it to be answered. Here he says, I pleaded three times with the Lord that this thorn in the flesh might depart from me. It was an hindrance to him. It was something that kept him back from doing what he really wanted to do for the Lord. And yet, what was the answer here? And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ might rest upon me. I've learned in whatever state I am, even in the state of adversity, to be able to be full, to be abounding, and to be trusting in God. When we face adversity in our life, do we turn to God? Do we lean on Him? Do we trust that whatever the outcome of this circumstance, that I'm still going to love God and to follow God? This past Friday, I was one of two people that conducted a funeral service for a wonderful, wonderful lady, Jessie Lou Duncan. She and her husband had ministered to countless families over the years in Lewisburg, Tennessee. Her husband owned the London Funeral Home for many, many years, and thousands upon thousands of families they had comforted through their time of need. As I went back, there were many times that Jessie Lou, over the past several months, had gone through a state of physical adversity. But spiritually, she knew her God. She trusted God. And watching the family, knowing that she was going down, and one day that day would come that she had departed, that was the type of thing where they were still rejoicing because we knew where she would go after her spirit departed that body. There's a difference when people who know God face adversity and people who don't know God face adversity. If you think that this life and this body and this world is all that there is, and if something comes to confront this body or your money or whatever it is that you cherish so much, that might be the end of the world to you. But to a Christian, it's not. The adversities that we face are nothing compared to what God has promised for us. When I was there with the other preacher and when we were comforting the family and giving our part of the service, we looked out. The people were full of smiles. There were some tears as well, but there were smiles because we knew that this godly lady had put her trust and confidence in God. She had given her life to serve God. And so we knew that through all the physical adversities, all the pain that she suffered through, she still trusted God. She knew how to do these things. Paul said, look, I've got this thorn in the flesh, whether it was a physical thorn in the flesh that caused him not to be able to function right, whether if it was bad eyesight, whatever it was a deterrent to him doing all that he thought he could for the Lord. He was wanting to serve the Lord even more. You'd think that when we pray to God and say, God, if you just give me this and this, I can serve you even better, that God would say, you know, you make a good argument. I think I'll give you that so you can serve me better. But what was the Lord's answer? My grace is sufficient for you. And also, he says, look, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, God doesn't want us to show the things that we can do. He wants us to be able to demonstrate what God can do. I've learned in whatever state I am to be content through adversity and also through anxiety. Let's go back over there to Philippians, and let's look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 now. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. That's so difficult. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't worry. Be anxious for nothing. It's hard not to worry, isn't it? My uncle wrote a poem years ago about worry, and I've used it in a few sermons. And sometimes people will come up to you and they say, don't worry, don't worry. Yeah, well, we're going to still worry, aren't we? We're going to worry from time to time. We ought not to, but we still end up worrying. Oh, we call it different names. We say, well, I'm not worrying. I'm just concerned. Or I'm not worrying. I'm just planning ahead for possible outcomes. And those are nice ways of putting those things. But don't worry, he says. It's difficult, isn't it? How do you learn not to worry about things? People worry about all kinds of things. They worry about their health. They worry about their kids. Our two sons, Jonathan and Joseph, when they first started driving, we were so happy that the state of Texas said that that you have to either send them to school to learn to drive, or you have to be certified yourself to be a driving instructor before you teach your own children. I don't know how my parents put up with me learning to drive, you know, because, well, you know how this process works, right? When you're 15 years old, you already know everything. You can't be taught anything because you already know everything. And to get behind a wheel and start to drive, well, I can't. I'm not in the learning mode because I think I know everything. There are a few times of worry, I think, when our kids start to drive, for example. But we learn to trust them and to overcome that and be concerned maybe for their safety, but not to worry. Notice this again. Be anxious for nothing. He's not talking about the weather, the bad storm that's coming up, the tornado that might be there, or the other adversities that we... Look, he's saying in life, be anxious for nothing. Put your trust in God. Learn and lean on him and learn these things that we ought to be doing. Trust and obey God. Let's go to the next screen on this. We also have the classroom of necessity. Let's look down to verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I learn in whatever state I am there to be content. Necessity. I do believe that the Lord's going to supply our needs. Over the years in ministry, both as a preacher's son and later as a preacher, I've experienced a lot of people that came with a need. I've seen a lot of people for a short period of time in Georgia. I was helping with some benevolence and mission work. And there are lots of people that come and say, oh, we need this. We need this. Benevolent type things. But I have never once in my life seen a brother or sister in Christ starved to death. I've never seen that because I've seen lots of brothers and sisters in life that fall on hard times, and maybe pride keeps them from asking for assistance, but if they're part of the body of God, the body of Christ, they're not going to starve. You know why? Because God's family is there with them. I've seen even here already where this church reaches out to people who have physical needs. We help to house them or to feed them or to clothe them and to help them along. No, God takes care of us. And the necessities that we have, I tell you what, we have great issues in this life that God gives us comfort for. Look at verse 19 of this same chapter. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. What are your needs? Not your wants, but what are your needs? Well, I need to be filled to have nutrients in my body. God's going to take care of that. What are your needs? Well, I need to have a place to stay, a roof over my head. God's going to take care of that. You remember what Jesus said there on the Sermon on the Mount when he said not to worry? He said you can't add a cubit to your height by worrying. So why worry about these other things? God knows what you need, and God is going to take care of you. Now, don't be like the lady in Georgia once. She called up to the church and wanted us to pay her electric bill. And that was a common request that we had, so I was beginning to take some information from her, and I was surprised to find out that she was still employed. She still had a job. And I said, well, you still got a job. Why is it that you need us to pay your electric bill? She said, well, I watch a lot of televangelists on TV, not Jim Baker. Now, don't get that confused with me like I was introduced last week. But she said, I watch a lot of televangelists on TV. And she said, this one fella said, I ought to trust God that God will take care of all these things. And so I'm just calling different churches, and they're paying all my bills for me. I said, well, ma'am, I don't think that's exactly the application that we need to see in that passage. And she said, well, that's what I'm taking it for. I just want the churches to pay all my bills. That's not what God's about in this thing. God shall supply all your need. How? Do you trust God? I mean, do you really trust God? My wife went through a serious illness early in our marriage, and there were lots of people that came down to the hospital during that time period. And there were lots of problems that we were facing I had never faced in my life before. Our family had never faced in our lives. And you know what? We learned not to worry, but just to live one day at a time. And you know what else? God's family comes through on God's behalf, and things get taken care of. All kinds of problems and obstacles that if you were to think of them now for what will happen in the future, you might worry and fret and not know what to do. Listen, when you experience them, when you learn to trust God, when you learn to be content, guess what? These things have a way of finding a solution, and the solution is in with God. There's also the classroom of prosperity. Look at verse 12 again. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In whatever circumstances Paul found himself, he learned to be content. He learned to honor and trust God. I had a fellow years ago that was asking for some money from the church. And he said, well, if I just have this much, and if I could just get out of this hole right here, then I'll be okay. And so I decided just to ask him a few questions. I said, well, what will you do next? And he was talking about what he would do next. And none of the things that helped to put him in the hole, he wasn't interested in changing any of the habits and the things that he had that helped to put him in the financial hole. But all he was concerned about was getting out of that one particular predicament. Let me tell you, we've got to learn to look beyond the adversity of today. And also look beyond the prosperity of today. I love to go to estate sales. Have done that for years. When we lived in Lewisburg, Tennessee, they had these auctions almost every weekend. They'd be at somebody's house, and they'd pull out all the furniture. There'd be a big tent in the front yard. There'd be 200 or 300 people there. It was a lot of fun. But also you knew as you were going through, these are all the things that this couple had, and this couple, they're gone now. Maybe they're in a nursing home, or maybe they passed away. But all the things that they spent years to accumulate, lots of money that they handed out in order to have the finest in furniture or the best in this, and now it's all here just going to the highest bidder. All of those things. The Bible talks about us not trusting in earthly riches. Not to trust. It's not bad to have things here that make us feel good and that are nice things. It's not bad at all. That's not the point. The point is, don't trust in these things. There will come a time, if we live long enough, there will come a time in each of our lives when the nicer house and the nicer furniture, none of that matters because it's all going to be condensed into one room anyway. And eventually, all of it has to stay here. Paul was a lifelong student of the Word of God. He always wanted to learn from God. Let's go on to the next slide here. He learned to be content. Let's look from verses 12 through 14 now. 12 through 14. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you have shared in my distress. He learned to be content, and he also learned to trust God. People were there on God's behalf to help him through. And he knew those things were there. Now, sometimes people wanted to help and they couldn't. He understood that as well. But throughout all of that, he learned to trust God. And for that, we're thankful. Let's go on to the next slide here. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. There's a great little passage there talking about being content. When you're thinking about the learning environment, what do you learn? Who do you learn from? And what are the things that you want to learn in life? There are a lot of things I think of that I still want to learn. And I love some of these channels that are on cable now or satellite, where you can learn about how things are made. I just love that, you know, how it's made and food factory. I like that, you know, seeing how all this food is made. But I love learning. It's kind of like in grade school when they take you on a field trip to the bakery and you walk through and you smell all that wonderful smell and you see how they take this the flour and the water and out comes the bread and into the bag. And you're just in awe as a little kid when you go through and see those things. Wow, that's how that works. That's how that happens. And so we need to learn. We need to investigate. We need to learn more and more about how things in life work and what happens to us to help us through. I want you to learn to be a lifelong student. I want you to learn every single time that you come to a Bible class and that you open your Bible. I want to anticipate learning something. Teach me something, Lord, from these passages. Now, this passage here, 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can take nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. It's hard to be content, isn't it? Last Sunday, we were gathered together, and we had this wonderful fellowship meal afterwards. It was wonderful. It was great. And you all sang to my wife, happy birthday, and that was wonderful, too. And all of these things. Now, we're not going to do that every Sunday. If we did, we'd kind of get tired of it. But you know the thing is, whenever we do something, we can always look back and say, that was good. And we'll do something else in the future, and we'll look back and say, that was good. And whatever it is that this life brings on us, adversity or prosperity, we can still look at this and say, I trust God, and God is with me, and I've made it through, and this is good. Can you be content in life today? Don't let a lack of funding, a lack of friends, a lack of security in your job, don't let any of those things stand in the way of a good relationship with God. God wants you to trust Him. God wants you to be content in this life to the extent that you can always look to Him for the guidance with any problem that you may have. Tonight we're going to talk about and pray about our kids as they go back to school, as some go off to college. But also throughout all of that, even tonight, I want you to think in terms of each of us still being in school. There might not be any more exams after we get that diploma, but there's still opportunities to learn. Let's always have an open mind to learn what God has to teach us and to learn what we can learn from the life around us. We have a song of encouragement that's been selected for this morning. If you've learned already what it takes to be a Christian, that you need to state publicly that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you need to change anything in your life that's against God's will, that is, you need to stop the sins and repent of those, that you need to be also willing to submit to the process of being buried with our Lord in baptism, so that you can be raised to be walking in newness of life, free from all of your sins as they've been washed away. If you've learned that and want to obey that, we're ready this morning to see you become a brother or a sister in Christ. And if you have any problems, any issues that may prevent your relationship with God to be what it should be, we want to let you know as well. We stand ready to pray with you either collectively or individually so that you might go home today knowing that you're right with God. Let's learn to be content. Let's learn to be right with God. If you have need of coming this morning, come now while we stand and sing.